to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 12 through 28. How many of you have ever had a big project that you completed yourself? How many of you have ever had a big project that you completed with someone else? How much easier was it when you had someone else? Right? It does sometimes depend, doesn't it? A lot of times, I mean, if you have competent help and somebody pulling their load with you, then it can be a lot easier when we accomplish things together than on our own. And this morning, we're going to be talking about Christian relationships and the importance of them. And so I'm excited about that and to diving into God's Word. We're going to begin in verse 12. And he says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and Father, we thank you for what's going on here with the Thessalonians. And Father, I pray this morning as we dive in and as we look at these verses together, I ask you to speak to our hearts, Father, this morning. And Father, we thank you that all of us have spiritual authorities over us, and we all have people that we look to, and we all are in this together. And Father, we share in the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, as we travel with you this morning, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, and that we'll hear from you and you alone, and Father, that you will bring your word alive, that we may hear what you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So he begins, we're going to look at how our Christian relationships work this morning. And he begins with this idea, or he begins as by requesting of all of us to appreciate those who are our spiritual authorities. Now this is an interesting passage. When I was very young, just starting out in the ministry, I preached a 17-point sermon out of this passage, and I decided not to do that this morning.
Amen.
Everybody just sat back down, didn't they? and he tells us to appreciate those who are our spiritual authorities. And here's the thing. The truth is we all have spiritual authority. So on this subject, I have guys that have been over me, that have invested in my life, and this tells me how I'm to treat them as well. And so I'm going to approach it from that aspect, because that's actually where I'm most comfortable. because these guys have given their life, and God has invested in them. And we can learn from one another, can't we?
Yes.
And guys that have gone before me, guys that have shown me the way and shown me things, I have learned from, and I appreciate them so much. And it's such a challenge today, in today's environment that focuses on individualism, to really appreciate authority. Authority is not a negative thing. Authority is a safety thing, if you think about it. God is our authority, and as we submit to Him, we're protected. And that's the beauty of it, of understanding authority. And so he talks about who our spiritual authorities are. Some of the work they do is that they diligently labor among us. And this is where their work takes place. We are their work. They invest in us. They guide us. They show us the way. They pull us alongside, and they are gentle. And now, can you have a bad authority? You absolutely can. And there are some bad out there. But it should be our goal as Christians, as brothers and sisters, to be in love with the Lord and in turn love what He loves, and that's His people. And as we express that, then it makes a difference in our lives. When somebody loves you and they come alongside and sow into your life, it doesn't feel like an intrusion. It feels like a blessing. It feels like a collaboration. And that's what it should feel like. Because we're growing together. If somebody's been somewhere and I need to go there, I would like to ask them directions, right? Oh, so you know where this place is? Well, can you tell me how to get there? And that's all that spiritual authority has to do with. But we are their work. Their work is God has called them to us. God has called them to serve us. When you're in leadership, in any kind of leadership, your time, everybody spends the group time, but the leader spends that time and time apart in preparation for the group time. And that's part of it. That's because we are their work. We are the result of what God has called them to. We see that they diligently labor among us, that they have charge over you or over us in the Lord. See, they're responsible to help us flourish in the Lord. And so we have to be willing to walk in faith. They've got a responsibility for us. It's a covering. It's a nesting. It's a protective thing. God charges them with us. And so it's important that we're willing to walk in faith. And that's, walking in faith is scary, I know. But if we're ever going to discover exactly what God's doing in His Word and what He's doing in our lives, we must step out in faith. We want to do the best job in preparation we can, don't get me wrong. But there comes a time when you got to pull the trigger. There comes a time when you just have to say, you know, God, you're going to have to fill in the rest of this. I mean, when God showed us that He wanted us to come and start new life, I quit my job, she quit her job, we moved back here. Now, we had family here, so that was a bit of a safety thing for us. But we didn't come here with jobs. We came here in obedience, and God took care of us, as He always has. And that's how it works. And as you're willing to walk in faith with the Lord, He's going to take care of all those other things. We're so focused on, you know, today, I had one of the mentors that I had in ministry told me a story of this person in their church that came up to them and said, God has gifted them with the gift of preacher corrector. Flags are going up, right? Let me tell you who has that gift and wields it successfully. His name is the Holy Spirit. He is very effective in his job. And just the wrong attitude of growth and the wrong attitude in the relationship with the Lord. And you know what? Here's the thing. Let's remove some of these fantasies. Am I a perfect man? No. So if you're expecting perfection, you're in the wrong place. We know the perfect man. His name was Jesus. So am I going to fail you? Yes. And you know what? You're going to fail me too. And that's okay. So let's just remove all that out from the beginning. Now we can get to what God's called us to. Because if we come in with this fantasy like Mark has to be perfect or you have to live up to these expectations, because you're not going to live up to them, and neither am I. But we're in this together because we're family. We're called together. And we're called to the responsibility to share Christ with the community, to encourage them to come into His house, to know Christ, to grow in their walk with faith. That's our calling. Everything else is just what we do. And it's the avenues with which God allows relationships to take place so that we have the opportunity to do our calling. That's the point. And so we have to be willing to walk in faith. Our spiritual authorities give us instruction. We have to be teachable. We have to be teachable. Weigh it out. Look at God's word. You know, one of the things that the guy, and see, this is, I'm going to give you some of the things that were sown into me as we go through this. One of the things that the guy who was over me early when I surrendered to ministry, he said, lots of guys fail in ministry because they don't have enough Bible education. He said, they'll go through an undergrad, and then they'll transfer into seminary. They'll do their 90 hours there, and that's it. And I had to make a decision about Bible college. And so I actually did my undergrad in biblical studies, and then transferred to my Master of Divinity and did both the Master of Arts and a Master of Divinity. And because of what he sowed into me, it charted a course for my life. And it's made a difference in my ability to study. It's made a difference in things that I've been exposed to. It doesn't make me any smarter. I'm not any smarter than any of you. We're the same, ladies and gentlemen. It just had to do with preparation, preparing myself for what God asked me to do. And that's what each of us have to do with what God's called us to do. Whatever that is. Whatever that is. It doesn't matter what he's called you to. You just have to do it and follow after him. And he'll put people in your life in authority over you to guide you in the path he wants you to go. We're not here by accident. It's not a mistake. I need you and you need me. We're in this together. And so we need to be teachable. I mean, there's guys that came alongside me and showed me how to do funerals and showed me how to do weddings. And they gave me, it's funny, they all have different ways of preaching. So everybody I talked to had a different way, and I had to discover what God wanted from me on that. And that's what I discovered by listening to all of them, because it was all different. And so it's amazing how God puts these authorities in our life, whether they're your Sunday school teacher, whether it's your parents, whether it's your pastor, whatever it is, for a reason. We need to be teachable. He goes on, he says, esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And we should treasure these guys. The guys that sowed into me, I treasure them. Some of it was through a lot of heartache. If you had known me earlier, you'd understand the comment. At least for them, it was. Treasure them because they're working to help you be everything God created you to be. And if that's not their heart, maybe that's not where you need to be. If they don't want you to be everything God wants you to be and are going to fan the flame and the fire around that, then be careful. That should be a warning to you. I saw there was a TV show out where this person who said they were a pastor, their house had burned down and their Bible had burned up in the house. And the firemen had offered, they said, we're going to get you a Bible. And the person said, well, if you do that, God will bless you. And I thought, wow, that's not the way it works. Loving people, you do reap what you sow. But God, we don't control the blessings. The blessings of God aren't always flowery things. Sometimes they're difficult things. Is it a blessing to a child to be spanked after they run in the street? Yes, it is. You know why it's a blessing? And this is not a sermon on spanking. Because you're giving them something that's going to preserve their life and going to keep them safe. You're going to make it hurt a little so it doesn't hurt a lot. And that's what God does with us. He makes it hurt a little sometimes. That's a blessing. We call those spiritual owies. There's lots of them. And so esteem these guys. They're working to help you be everything God created you to be. And then he says, live in peace with one another. And you know, that seems like something you would say to the church, right? But the interesting thing is it's tied in with this idea of spiritual authorities. And so often, people want to buck authority. They want to buck authority. Now, you know, we grew up, we have a culture that says, resist, resist, and it's getting worse. You know, it's almost sickening. I see some of this stuff on TV and on the news about we're just going to resist you. Doesn't matter if what you're trying to do is right or wrong. It just matters that we resist, and that in of itself is held up as a good quality. Listen, the Bible tells me that all authority is from God. When I'm going down the street and there's a policeman on the street, that authority is there from God. If I'm at work and I have a boss, that authority is there from God. And I better be teachable. I better be listening. You know, I had a guy that I worked with. He was actually a co-worker. And I'll never forget, he said something to me. He said, you know, if one person tells you something about yourself, you can kind of dismiss it. But if two or three or more tell you, maybe you ought to listen and see what's going on. And he didn't realize, but God, at that moment, used him in my life to begin to take an honest look at things. Because that's, I think, a healthy place to be. And so we're to live in peace with one another. Listen, this is where the enemy works to destroy our witness and keep us from being what God created us to be. Paul in Corinthians says that I hear that divisions exist among you. It would be better that you not meet than you allow this to go on. And so he's saying it's better to not meet at all than to allow that to go on. You cannot have it. Two visions creates division. Two. You can't have it. Because it wreaks havoc in the body. And so we're to live in peace with one another. It's important that we do that. It's important that I do that to the spiritual authorities in my life, and that you guys do it to the spiritual authorities, whoever they are, in your life. And so he moves from this idea of Christian relationships and our spiritual authorities to one another. And he urges them. He says, we urge you, brethren. See, we're urged to engage with one another. God has called us to one another. God has called you guys and girls to each other. And what has he called us to? Admonish the unruly. Well, I'm here to admonish you. There's an attitude that goes with this, though. It better not sound like that. Admonish means really to warn, reprimand, or admise. And unruly is somebody who's not following the rules, not going the way that it's been laid out for. And so these people are self-led. They come into a group or they come into a body and they're not under the authority of the group. They're not pulling on their end of the rope, trying to get the sled down the road that we're all pulling on. And we're called to admonish them, say, hey, listen, this is where we're all going. You need to grab that section of rope and let's go. Go with us. Encourage them to go with you. Ask them what's going on. Talk to them. Find out why, what the problem is. Admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. You know what's interesting about that? When you think of faint heart, of faint-heartedness, you think of the word faint, right? Like somebody would faint. But really what it means is timidity. And so he's talking about encouraging those who are timid. Are any of you guys timid in your spiritual walk? Are you afraid to bring up the point for fear of losing your job? Are you afraid that somebody's going to reject you or not be your friend anymore? Listen, if they're not your friend because you talk to them about Jesus and you're really a Christian, maybe they're not your real friend. But you don't understand. Oh, but I do understand. I work out there in the secular realm too. And so we're to encourage her, say, hey, listen, you can do it. Carlos, you can do it, brother. You can do it. Tom, you can do it. You can share. You can ride your motorcycle with them and share with them. You can do it. Dennis, you can do it. You can share your faith at work. But listen, let me tell you this. Jesus said, render unto Caesar what Caesar's and unto God what's God. Don't do it on work time. We get lunchtime and other things. And that authority is also from God. So encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Let your strengths cover their weaknesses. Who in here has a weakness? All right? How many of you like chocolate? That could be a weakness. Right? Tom is adding to the list. Encourage the weak. Let our strengths cover the weak. Because listen, we're better together. We're better together. You ever wonder why opposites attract? It's because they fill in the gaps. You think the same would attract, but it doesn't work that way. He says, help the weak. And then he says something terrible. He said, be patient with everyone. He doesn't give any exceptions to that. But you don't understand, Lord. You don't understand who this person is. They're on my last nerve. You just met them. You ever met people like that are on your last nerve the minute you meet them? They just... I hope none of them are in this room. But we know people like that. It's just difficult to get along with. You really have to try just to be civil. He says, be patient with everyone, no exceptions. Because here's why. If we go into every relationship believing that God's in control and can do anything, then we might have a role in their life. And they might have a role in ours. And so be patient with everyone. With that expectancy. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. No getting even, guys. Well, you treated me like that. And it's only right that I make things even. Somebody spoke to me in a hard way, and so now I'm gonna be protective, and I'm gonna give it back to them, but I'm gonna do it in other ways. I'm gonna do it in a subtly or sneaky ways. Evil does not render the will of God. You cannot do things of the flesh. There is no flesh that pleases God. So if you choose to go that path, you move from being in a position of potentially pleasing him and being a life change in that person's life to being unpleasing. And so be careful that no one repays evil for evil. And then he goes to the must always section. We must always seek after that which is good for one another and all people. See, that prioritizes other people. What's the best thing for Eric, and what's the best thing for Londa? What's the best thing for them? Seeking the best for them. Seeking the best for Michelle. How can I support her and let her experience the best things that God has for her? Seeking the best plan for Dave's life that I can sell into him. You see, this ain't about me. None of this is about... The cross was about me. And the cross was about you. Now it's about him. But man, we so often draw this circle around our lives and say, this is about me. I'm going to protect me. Don't talk about me like that. You know what? How many of you have been ever able to control anything anyone else says? Anybody? And when you try, what happens? Now they have something else to talk about, right? Why fuel them? Let them talk. Because if it's not true, what's going to happen is they're going to make a fool of themselves. And if it is true, you need to be listening to it anyway so you can deal with it. Right? So there's no benefit in defending ourselves. If God can't defend you, then you're undefendable. Seek after that which is good for one another. want what's best for Monica. I want everything God planned for her from the foundation of the world. That's what I want for all of you. I want you to live. And I just want to be able to see it happen. I get so much joy out of that. That's fun. Seeing you achieve the dreams God has planted in you. Some of you have them, but you're so afraid to even talk about them because you know there's a cost to it. Or it's so big. I used to have a lady that would tell me she was called to start a retreat center. And I kept hearing the same story over and over. She would never do it. Do you want to live that life where over and over you say, yeah, this is what God wants, and I'm just never acting on it? I would rather try something for the Lord and fail than not try at all. I'd rather shoot. At least some of the balls are going to go in. Don't live a life of fear. We're not called to a life of fear. We're called to a life of faith. Well, I don't have all the money, and I don't have all this, and we can come up with reasons why we can't do anything. You know what? When we started New Life, instead of going to people and saying, this is what I need from you, I went to them and I shared the vision that God gave me. And whether they had land or position or they had something, I just said, this is what we feel like God has called us to. And almost when I did it that way, every time, 100%, they would not only cover the thing I was hoping for, they would actually do more. It was the most craziest thing. But when I would go in there and ask for a specific thing, many times they were hesitant and reluctant to participate. And what it was is the difference was, and I figured out what the difference was, it was Mark taking control versus letting God being in control. And it's such a, you're like, well, shouldn't you tell him what you need? If God leads you to do that. Because some of them would ask me and say, well, what are your needs? I said, well, you know, we're a new church, there's lots of them. And we would laugh. And then they would say something specific. And then I would just give them a list at that point. Say all these things. But the only thing I care about, and this is what I told them, and the only thing I care about is if God's called us to do this together, that you do what God wants you to do. And the church, there was a church in Victoria, Texas, gave us all our sound equipment when we started. They loaned it all to us. So we had a sound system from day one. And I called this other guy. I was looking for office space. And he goes, well, I've got some office space. And he said, come on over in. And so we talked about it. It was perfect. And I said, what's the rent? He said, it's very affordable. And we stayed there for 3 years. He didn't charge us a dime. He paid the utilities and for the space. And it just so happened he had chairs sitting out in a big truck in the back, in a semi-truck. And he said, yeah, because we were looking for chairs. We were about to pay $8 to $11 a chair for metal chairs. He goes, oh, hold on. Somebody had donated these to another church, and that church disappeared. We don't know what happened. We can't find them. They're yours if you want them. They're out back now. That's how it works. That's how it works. You think God is incapable of doing things? Start walking in faith, ladies and gentlemen. Listen. Seek after that which is good for one another and all people. My goal better be what's best for you. And if somebody's not doing that in your life, ask why they're there first. Maybe, and I learned this from King David. King David was walking with Joash, which is the captain of the guard. And this guy started coming along and he's cursing David, telling him what a sorry sot he is and all this terrible stuff. And Joash leans over in David's ear and he says, hey, you want me to go kill him? And he could have. This is the number one guy. He didn't get, I mean, this is SEAL Team 6 kind of stuff. And David, with all the godly wisdom that God gave him, he said, no, maybe God has bidden to curse me. And he listened. And so be careful before you cut those people out. Seek after that which is good for one another and all people. Prioritize other people. Rejoice always. That's a decision, not a feeling. We think of rejoicing, oh, this is great. Let me praise the Lord. This is happening in my life. I got this new job. Well, I got fired. I got to rejoice in that. Some people rejoice when they're fired. But we're to rejoice in all things, right? Oh. Rejoice in all things, right? Man, that was pathetic. We're going to do that again. We need to rejoice in all things. Because it gives us an opportunity to see the hand of God, ladies and gentlemen. He will deliver every time. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. You ever heard that? Well, if I pray without ceasing, what am I supposed to witness? If I pray without ceasing, how can I? He's talking about being in a position where you can go to the Lord at any time for anything, and that you have a constant prayer life with God that I can drop at any moment. Not putting yourself in a, and you know what? I'm not so sure that everything in our life doesn't need to be bathed in prayer. Lord, show me what to eat. Show me where to live. Show me how to love my spouse. Show me all these things. Open your whole life to Him. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. See, that recognizes the fact that God's up to things that you don't understand. I need to be thankful for no matter what comes my way. Let me tell you, I've had some incredibly beautiful things happen to me in life. And I've had some incredibly horrible things happen to me in life. Stuff I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But I need to thank God for that. Man, how can you do that? Because I know from all the garbage that I've been through, that all things that God does in my life work together for good. He turns it into something positive. And it's an area of growth for me. It may have hurt, and the deeper it hurts, the more impression it makes when I learn the lesson. And so in everything, give thanks. Recognize that God is up to things you don't see. See, here's the thing. You want to know... There's books and books and books on God's will for your life. He says right here, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you've been seeking the will of God, here it is. But wait a minute, I didn't want that will. Usually what we want is something specific. I'm supposed to be an architect, or I'm supposed to be a teacher at church. We want these job titles. And we think about that in terms of God's will for us. God's will for us is relationship with Him and one another. That's His will. And He leads us into the other things as we go. So we see our relationship to our spiritual authorities, to one another, and lastly with the Holy Spirit. Very important. You know, we're talking about what it means to be a mature church. We're going to be doing some heavy lift here, ladies and gentlemen. He talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a comforter, so we're instructed to not quench the Spirit. Now, when we think of quench can be good and bad, right? Depending on how it's applied. On a hot day, you're out there working outside. The sun has been beating down on you. You forgot your sunscreen, and so you're beet red. And somebody brings you a glass of ice water with ice that's crystal clear, and there's beads of sweat coming down the sides of it. And you drink that, and it quenches your thirst. It satisfies. But quench can be what Terry and I dealt with on Friday. We had a big raging fire. We were able to burn, so we burned that big part of that massive pile of brush up front. And it has to be out an hour before sunset. And so we were out there with a hose putting the fire out, trying to get it out, trying to stop the flame, trying to stop the coals from continuing to burn. And so, to quench is to remove something. To remove my thirst, to remove the heat of the flame, it's to remove. And so when he says, don't quench the Spirit of God, the God means that the Spirit of God's active in your life, and you're removing that. You're removing that motion by ignoring him, by saying no to him, by rejecting him. Don't listen. Don't ignore him. Listen to him. He says, do not despise prophetic utterances. See, what God has shown someone else is huge value to us if we'll listen and be teachable. The things that God has taught each of you has enormous value to me. I love to hear those stories. Because my heart for you is for you to be everything God wants you to be. And so when I hear that, I hear about how God's active in your life. You see how this works? And if you want that for me, can you imagine if just this room prayed for everything that God has for me in my life, how much that would affect you? And if I prayed that for you, how much that would affect me? Do you see how this works? We're in this together. Isn't that cool? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? He wrote it. I didn't write it. We need to treasure the Word of God and be listened and be willing to be teachable. Examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. You know what that implies? It's not all prophetic utterances you hear from the Lord. There's a lot of bad garbage out there today. And we need to understand and discern the difference between truth and stuff that feeds our flesh. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. It's really hard for me to listen to it, to be honest with you. And I hear this stuff, and they're blowing all this smoke, and everybody's getting what they want to hear. You know what? I can do that too. I can give you what you want to hear and make everybody feel wonderful. But you know what? But that would violate what I want for you, which is everything God has for you. Because sometimes God, let me tell you what God strips away. God will strip away your confidence in yourself, so that you can be completely dependent on him. And then you can understand and live in the fullness of what he has for you. See, the world will say, oh, you're amazing. You're amazing. Come this way. Have it your way at Burger King. It's all about you, Stephen. The whole world revolves around you. You are the Lord of this room. And we would go, oh, we resist that. But secretly we think, well, I need this and I want this and I want this and I want, and it's all about me, 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 me. Me, me, me. We're back to Stephen. And so we have to be careful. Stephen sounds better than that when he does it. It's not about us. It's a very subtle thing. We have to examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. And how do we determine that? We use discernment. And guess where discernment comes from? The Holy Spirit. We're back in our circle, in our real circle. The Holy Spirit and his word. And he leaves us with this last thing. Abstain from every form of evil. Listen, don't allow things to lead you away from him. There's a lot of things that, there's different forms of evil. Well, but you got to have it. You're addicted. You got to have that. Or, this is really important in your life. I know it's not what God wants, but you don't understand. No, I understand. Because I hear the same lies too. And unfortunately, I've given in to some of them. Let's be honest. That's how I know. But you don't need it. You don't need it. Some of it is mental. Some of it's accolades where we have a low self-esteem. Some of it is physical, and we have to deal with that as well. And so abstain. Now, God is the one who sanctifies us entirely. And here's the triune argument for God. There's so much in this. You can see why this was a 17-point sermon. That talks about the spirit, soul, and body. It sanctifies us entirely from the inside out, just like the song. Spirit, soul, and body. This is his work in you. Listen, when we don't follow the instructions above, we're resisting him. If we don't follow what God's word says, we're resisting him. If I don't follow what you tell me and you're the authority in my life, I'm resisting you. Wouldn't you perceive it that way if you were in authority over me and you gave me instructions and I didn't do it? It's so funny when we change it around, we're like, yeah, son, you need to go do that. Why come you're not doing that? I told you to be in bed by 9. Right, parents? But when we reverse it and it's God and us, we don't see it as resistance. We go, well, that's free will. Listen, God is faithful. And he who calls you is going to make it happen. We need to do our part, and he does his part. And that's how this works. So what are our takeaways about our Christian relationships? We need to be a blessing and not a problem. You need to be a blessing and not a problem. But you don't understand. They're talking about me. They're saying this about me. They're saying, boy, he's just like this. Doesn't matter what they're saying. Are you being a blessing or a problem in the situation? Listen, we know biblically that God can shut somebody's mouth and keep them from speaking, right? Let him do it. Get out of the way. Let him do it. Be a blessing. Carrying the weight of representing the Lord when you have a genuine love for God's people as you lead them never leaves those who are trying to do what God wants. Did y'all follow that? I'm going to read that again. Carrying the weight of representing the Lord when you have a genuine love for God's people as you lead them never leaves those who are trying to do what God wants in their calling. So this desire for you and the weight of the burden is the wrong word. The weight of the responsibility and the joy of that never leaves me. I think about all of you all the time. And some of you are like, you need to broaden your horizon. I can't because I'm called to you. I think about you when I sit at home. I think about you when I study. You're on my heart all the time. And it's because God's given me a love for you. We need to encourage, support, and pray for one another. How many of you could use that sometimes? Encouragement, support, and prayer. Look around. We need each other. Be a blessing, not a problem. Be there for one another no matter what. Listen, we need each other to love us in spite of our junk. How many of you got junk? Amen. Here we go. Confess your sin one to another. Those of you with your hands up, sure, go ahead and share your sin. I'm just kidding. We got junk in our lives, and we got to be there for one another. We're all snarky at times. We're all grumpy at times. Anybody ever get grumpy? Let's remove some sleep from you. Any of you have ever gone out of your way to be sweet before? See, you can do it. You can do it. Be there for one another. We need each other to love us in spite of our junk, to fill in our weaknesses. I need you to fill in my weaknesses. I can't do what a lot of you can do. I need you. We need each other to learn from as we seek the Lord together. I need your story. I need the challenges that you've overcome. I need to see how God's working in your life. It helps me to know that I can do it too. And so our takeaway is about our Christian relationship. We end with the idea that active growth in your relationship, we need to actively grow in our relationship with the Lord. So we have to seek after a healthy relationship with Him. That's by listening to the Spirit and by receiving His Word. He lines that out for us here. Listen, if we're going to be a mature church, these things, He lists all these things. It's a lot. My watch is running slow today. I found that out earlier. I told Stephen when I found out my watch was 15 minutes slow because it had been slowing down that you guys are without hope today. And so we have to listen to the Holy Spirit and receive His Word. You know, a while back, and this is not a political comment, this is a comment about something that happened. And I read it somewhere else, but I've also read it firsthand in his autobiography. When George Bush became governor of the state of Texas, the legislature was Democratic and he was Republican. And so in an effort to work together, he took the Democratic leader out to lunch. And they talked and talked and talked and had to no avail to come to some conclusion. Well, George got up at the end of the meal and grabbed him on either side of his head and kissed him right on the cheek. And the guy is like, "What did you do that for?" He's like, "If I can't get your cooperation and participation, I'm at least going to get a kiss." And the guy laughed. And therein began a new relationship. And he writes about it in his book, Decision Points. And I read about it, I was reading about it online the other day. It's a true story from the best I can tell. And it's so funny. We have to work together, ladies and gentlemen. It's about us pulling together. Our parking lot is lit up today because we work together. We're doing children's ministry into the future because we're working together. We're doing youth ministry in the future because we're working together. We're sharing the hope of the gospel of Christ because we're working together. We're doing music worship and worship with our lives because we're working together. Listen, let's put this team up here and let them not work together. Ain't nobody going to worship, I promise you. I promise you. I've been in that worship service. It wasn't here. Nobody's working together. It's all about individuals. And I was like, man, this stinks. This ain't about Stephen or the team. It's about Jesus Christ. And we better not get our eyes off the prize. And everything we do here, it is all for Him. I do what I do because He died for me and gave me a new life. Not the church, life in Him. That's the only reason I do this. And because of that, it's given me a tremendous love for you. It's almost uncontrollable. Maybe that's just the way I'm made. Maybe that just goes with what He called me to do. The moral of the story is here, is no matter what it takes, we're better together. No matter what it takes. So let's engage the Lord and each other so we can partake in what God has for us in our individual lives and as a corporate body here at New Life. If you see someone who's not here today, call them. Let them know you missed them. Say, "Hey, where were you? I thought about you. That happened last week." If you're like, "Well, I don't know anybody's number," problem solved. There's directories out there. You can pick one up. If you need a visitor's number, let me know. Listen, people matter. You matter. Don't you matter? Don't I matter? Man, let's just do this right. Let's do it the way God said to do it. I want to be a part of a mature church. And I'll tell you this, I'd rather build an oak tree than a squash. A squash is gone in 2 weeks. Anybody ever had a garden with squash in it? Man, those leaves go like that in just no time. And then you can almost watch the squash grow right out. But when the heat of the sun comes out, the thing goes as Hebrew. But an oak tree, anybody ever built a new house and had them put an oak tree in? It probably remained a stick the entire time you were there, right? Because they grow slow, but 300 years from now, they're still here because they grow solid. That's what I want to be a part of. Not that I don't want to grow, because I do. Believe me, my heart is to grow. I think we've come to that time. We're about to cross that threshold. But I'd rather be real, something real and solid. And on Jesus and this word without compromise. And if somebody doesn't want to fall under that, there's the door. Or really what we should do is pray for them that God would change their heart. That's what conviction of the Holy Spirit looks like. That ought to be our heart, not there's the door. Amen? I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes.